Certainly thankful for the wonderful words that have gone before us this morning. It is such a joy to be with ministers of like precious faith. And all the ministers that are here, not only Brother Chris, but all each and every one of the ministers that are here, your pastor and those brethren who are so dear and precious to us, we thank God for the privilege to be with them, have their fellowship. But it's such a joy to be with you here at Little Union again this morning. And I want you to know that I pray for you every day. And I want to thank you personally for the prayers that you have expressed for me in my life. And I just wanted you to know, I didn't want to forget to tell you that before I leave here, that I do pray for you every day. And I thank God for the wonderful blessings that He has bestowed upon this church. And since Brother Chris has come here to be your pastor, and just the meeting that we've enjoyed this weekend. And I hope that you'll pray for me. It's my intention to speak to you briefly and then leave the balance of the time to Elder Crawford. And so I hope that you will pray for me for the few minutes that I speak to you this morning. I'd like to draw your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And I want to begin to read in verse 17. I'm going to read several verses, so as I look down to read, please don't lose your attention, because it's important that I read from the Word, because when Jesus went into the synagogue, the minister handed him the book, and he didn't say, "Oh no, I wrote that, I can quote it." He opened the book and he read from it. He honored the Word of God. Amen. Even though he was the author of it, he honored it by reading from it. And so if he read from it, who am I to not read from it? Amen. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I want to focus on this expression, "Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." Paul speaks here of being in Christ. There's only one way to get into Christ, and that is to be put into Christ. Right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus." Right. If you're in Christ, you didn't do something to get into him. You were put into him. It is of God, of him, God, that ye are in Christ. If you're in Christ, it's because God put you into Christ by, first of all, election. He says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." The wonderful thing about the doctrine of election is that it gives all the glory to the Lord. You see, if you go to heaven, you'll be there because God chose you to go there. So you'll have to give him all the glory for getting there, because you wouldn't be there if he hadn't chose you to go there. You remember that the Lord said in the book of Isaiah, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the rich man glory in his riches, or the powerful man glory in his power, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth me, that I am a God of, that I am the Lord, and that I am a God of loving kindness, of judgment and of justice, and in these things I delight, saith the Lord." The Lord said that if a man is rich, he should not glory in those riches. How many people would love to be rich this morning? He said, if a man's powerful, he should not glory in his power. How many people would love to be powerful this morning? He said, if a man is wise, he should not glory in his wisdom. How many people would love to be wise this morning? Those are the three things that really people are working for today, isn't it?
Right.
Either to get rich, get powerful, or to get wise.
Yeah.
Some people are poor, but they're wise. Some people are wise, but they're not powerful. Some people are powerful, but they're not wise. Some people want riches, but they don't have any sense to know what to do with it. Some people want power, but they abuse it. But the world is struggling today for those three things: wisdom, power, and riches. But the Lord says, let not the rich man glory in his riches, or the mighty man to glory in his might. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth me, that I am the Lord, that exercises loving kindness and justice and judgment in the earth. In other words, you know God to be a God not like Allah, who is cruel and will wipe you out and burn you in hell just for looking wrong. But you know God, the Lord, as a God who exercises loving kindness. So your God is a God of loving kindness. Isn't that glorious?
Yeah.
To know that? The poorest man on earth can glory in that. I love to tell people I'm the richest poor man you'll ever meet. I'm rich in Christ Jesus my Lord. I'm not just saying that as a preacher's thing. I'm telling you, I'm the richest poor man you'll ever meet. Jeff Davis, after the war between the states, or the war of northern aggression, excuse me, was over, he retired to Beauvoir on the coast of Mississippi, and they show a video of him down there, and the last thing they say is that he finished out the remainder of his life in genteel poverty. I said, that's me. I'm in genteel poverty. That's my life. But I'm the richest poor man you'll ever meet. Jesus said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Paul said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Every one of y'all are rich poor people. You're rich in Christ. Do you understand that you are an heir and a joint heir with Christ?
Yeah.
Everything Christ has belongs to you too. That is mind-boggling, isn't it? You say, I believe in grace, but that's too much grace. No, that's how great grace is. It lifts the beggar up from the dunghill of iniquity and blesses him to inherit thrones of glory, because grace is great, because the God of grace is great.
Right.
So he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Glory in the Lord that he exercises loving kindness and judgment and justice in the earth. And in those things I delight, saith the Lord. The Lord delights when we're lovingly kind to each other. Loving kindness. Isn't that a great word? Don't you love that word? Loving kindness. Not just kindness. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Not just kind, but loving kindness. You know, the Bible tells us that we ourselves also were... You know, there's a passage of Scripture in the book of Titus that I don't... My old carnal human nature just really doesn't like it all. It tells you to submit yourselves to magistrates and to every ordinance of man. When I'm riding up the highway and the ordinance of man says 55 and I want to go 75, I don't like that verse. But for Christ's sake, I submit myself to that ordinance. It's boring to ride down the road at 55, isn't it? It's boring. I'd much rather fly down the road at 75. It's a lot more fun. But for Christ's sake, I submit myself. Because the Bible says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to magistrates, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. Boy, isn't that the way of the world? Serving divers lusts, just lusting after stuff, things, one sin after another. There's never enough sin. People just gorging themselves on sin all day, and at the end of the day, just being totally dissatisfied. Serving divers lusts and pleasures, just whatever desire people come up with, they go after it and serve it. I've often said the reason why they call it MasterCard is because it's your master. You work for it every day trying to pay it, and you never can pay it off. Yes, indeed. Serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, just being jealous of each other, hateful and hating one another. Isn't that the way it is at work? Isn't that the way it is on the highway? I mean, out there on the interstate, people hateful and hating one another. How dare they cut me off? Don't they know I'm more important than they are? How dare they go too slow? Don't they know I'm late for work? I want to get a bumper sticker that says, "It's not my fault you got up late. Back off." People hate each other, don't they? They're full of hate for each other, aren't they? You know, most people spend their whole day locked in a vicious cycle of reacting sinfully to other people's sinful actions. Somebody cuts you off, so you get up there on their bumper and make sure they can see you, you know, scrunching your nose at them and pointing your finger like, "Yeah, you did me wrong." Like they're up there and they care. And you take it into work with you. You're mad because you got cut off, and so this, your co-worker says hello, and you say, "What's so good about it?" You know, "Good morning. What's so good about it?" You know, or you take it home with you, and you abusive toward your family because you're mad at something the boss did. People who are full of envy. Somebody gets promoted at work, and they thought the promotion should have gone to them, so they envy them. See, that's the way of the world. Reacting sinfully to other people's sin. You know how to break that cycle? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You can break that cycle instantly by simply being kind to somebody that's been unkind to you. And that's after all what the Lord did for you. For he says, after that, the kindness and love of God. See, loving kindness. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Do you know how kind God has been to you? Do you know how much love he's shown you? He saw you acting ugly like everybody else was acting, and he reached down and said, "Now I'm going to take you out of that. And I'm going to make you a better person than that. And I'm going to show you a better way of living than that. I'm going to show you love. I'm going to do for you what I'm going to do." He probably doesn't say "ain't." He knows how to talk, but he's, "I'm going to do something for you that I don't do for anybody else around you. I'm going to take you out of that life of malice and envy and hateful and hating one another, and I'm going to show you kindness and love, and I'm going to teach you the law of love, and I'm going to put my love in your heart. And I'm going to teach you how to love others." And he said, "So after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You know what that says? It says that God loved you enough to reach down into the pit of humanity and pull you out and wash you in the blood of the Lamb of God and regenerate you and put you on a new path, the path of love and life. I'm telling you, friends, that's loving kindness. And that's what the Lord wants us to show to each other, just loving kindness. You know, it's not hard. It's not complicated. It doesn't cost a dime. It cost Jesus his life at Calvary, but it didn't cost you a dime. It's just love. The loving kindness of God. Now, aren't you glad you know that about God? You can glory in that. Let him glory in this, that he knoweth me, that I exercise loving kindness in the earth. He delights in it. It delights the Lord when you're lovingly kind to somebody that's mean to you. Wow. When somebody is rude to you and you're kind to them, whenever they say something ugly to you and you turn away their wrath with a soft answer. When they're hungry, you feed them. When they're thirsty, you give them drink. And you're not overcome of evil. See, when you react sinfully to somebody else's sinful action, you've been overcome by evil. But when you are kind to someone that's mean to you, you've overcome evil with good. You see that? How simple that is. Isn't it great? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You see, when you're born again, you're made a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're put into Christ by God. You're not put into Christ by your effort. You're put into Christ by God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says, "According as he hath chosen us in him." If you're in Christ today, God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. You know, people are chewing their fingers off, over the upcoming election. What's going to happen? Let me tell you something. Isn't it wonderful to know that God doesn't run for election? He's not up for a vote in November. And I got news for you. No matter how the election goes, he's still going to be on the throne the next day. Oh, you talk about glorying in something, friend. Listen, I love this country. And I'm concerned about it just like everybody else. And I love this country. And if somebody attacked it, I'd be willing to fight for it. If I love this country enough that if they drafted me, I'd go fight for it to defend this country. Now, if they draft me, they pretty much hit the bottom of the barrel, and you might as well go ahead and wave the white flag because it's probably already over. But I'll still go because I love America. But friends, America ain't the kingdom of God. I'm a citizen of a better country. I got a home and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I've got a house in a city whose foundation, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is not George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, but Almighty God. In a better country, in a kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And my right to be there was purchased by Jesus at Calvary. And Jesus has gone there to prepare a place for me, and he's promised to come again and receive me unto himself, that where he is, there I may be also to behold his glory. I'm the richest poor man you'll ever meet. And so are you. You're an heir and joint heir with Christ. Because what he did for me, he did for you. You're a stranger and a pilgrim down here, my friend. Oh, and that glorious, you're a new creature. He's called you to live a new way. And it's a simple, you say, well, Brother Lonnie, I can't keep all those rules and regs together. I can't keep all the rules straight and all the things. Listen, you preachers know the Bible. Listen, let Jesus simplify it for you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You don't have to worry about memorizing the rest of them. Just get those two down and you got it. Because if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from him.
Right.
If you love your neighbor, you won't gossip about him. If you love your neighbor, you won't do him any harm. You see how love is the fulfilling of the law. You've been called to a life of love. A love for God and a love for your fellow man. And quit trying to figure out who's worthy of your love and deserves it. Just love everybody. You know, just love everybody. Quit trying to figure out, well, now, am I supposed to love this guy? No, just love him anyway. If you love somebody that shouldn't have been loved, they'll get over it. So will you. You know, primitive bass act like, we might accidentally preach to somebody that shouldn't have been preached to. Come on. If you do, they're not going to care. They're dead in trespasses and in sin. You know, don't worry about teaching your children the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do it anyway. If they're not children of God, it's not going to get them to heaven. You haven't done them anything wrong. But if they are children of God, you led them to the church. Well, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're a new creation. You're not like the rest of those poor people out there who are sinners and don't know it. Who are poor and miserable and naked and wretched and blind and don't realize that you're not like them. The Lord has done something for you he hadn't done for them. You know, there was a man that was laying by the pool of Siloam. He had been laying there for years. He was so crippled up that whenever the angel would trouble the water, he'd try to get in, but somebody would get in ahead of him and get the blessing, and he just kept missing out on the blessing. And Jesus came by one day. And Jesus brought the blessing to him that he couldn't get to. He said, take up thy bed and walk. And that man took up his bed and walked. And I used to, when I was a little boy, picture this man picking up a 4-poster bed with box springs and thinking, how did he do that? But of course, he was laying on a bedroll like on a sleeping bag. His bed was just he just rolled it up and walked off. But the point is that the Bible said there were many impotent, many sick folk. There was a multitude of sick people, but the Lord only healed one of them. You see, the Lord's done something for you he hadn't done for everybody. You say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Well, take that up with the Lord. Now, if you're upset that the Lord did something for you that he hadn't done for other people and you want to give it back, go right for it. But I dare say you're like me. You're just thankful that when he passed by, he stopped and said, be thou whole. He could have left you laying right there, but he didn't. You're here today because he loves you. You're a new creature. You need to start thinking about that and acting like that. Think of yourself as a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You were put there by election. You have the legal right to be there by redemption, and you're kept there by preservation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a new world. It's a new life. It's a new way of looking at life. You're looking through the law of love. You're looking through the blood of Christ. You're looking at the world in a different way. Instead of seeing the ugliness of other people toward you as a justification for being ugly back, you see it as an opportunity to display the love of God, to bear fruit, the fruit of love. You know, last night we talked about bearing fruit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Do you know that the poorest man on earth can display every one of those fruits?
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? It doesn't matter what your economic circumstance is. You can love. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have long-suffering. You say, what is long-suffering? It's putting up with people that aren't putting up withable. It's putting up with people that aren't putting up withable. People who don't deserve, you're putting up with them. It's putting up with them. In other words, it's doing what God does with you every day. He puts up with you all day long. He puts up with your excuses. He puts up with your failures. And he doesn't just sweep it under the rug. He leaves it where it ought to be, in the blood of Christ. And that's where you need to leave the shortcomings of others, in the blood of Christ. Just forgive people. Just love. You say, oh, Brother Lonnie, this is all, you know, too sweet. Too much love. I believe in love, but this is too much love. Listen, there's enough hate to go around out there. Don't worry about overloading the world with too much love. There's enough bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking going on. You just be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You're a new creature. Do you understand?
Right.
Old things have passed away. The old way of thinking, the old way of living is all passed away. And all things are becoming new. And that'll give Brother David plenty of time to preach whatever's on his heart. May God bless you, my friend.